So speaking on behalf of God, I don't. I try to through Scripture give you a bit of a glimpse of God, but to speak for Him, for God, for what God is, no, not even close. This morning I had a little bit of a quiet time, and then I was checking the news, and I came across an article, I posted it on Facebook. I know I don't do that a lot. No. That there is an invisible gas cloud in the cosmos called the Smith Cloud that was discovered back in the 60s that is on collision course with, that is going to collide, it crash into the Milky Way galaxy. That's our galaxy, our playground. And that's pretty catastrophic. That's not pretty catastrophic. That's catastrophic. And that's an understatement too. What's that? Well, that's a good question. So here's the thing. It's the dimensions blow my mind because I just invited the Holy Spirit. I just asked God, can you come and visit, come, right? Because we pray, come. But here's this God of this gas cloud that is 11,000 light years long. Now, to get an idea of that, one light year is 10 trillion kilometers. So that times 11,000 is actually, I think it's 11 quadrillion kilometers long. And it's 2,500 light years across. So I was thinking, wouldn't it be great to be on the laser, copying it with a laser gun to get the reading of this? Because it's traveling, they figure, just over a million kilometers per hour. Well, just over that. Wouldn't that be awesome? I think the radar, the laser would just say duck. Now. Right? But the we've been talking last week in our series on merge, which is God's life merging with our life. Jesus, the disciples weren't getting the significance of the multiplication of the loaves. And it wasn't that that Jesus was multiplying loaves. It was the fact of who Jesus was. He's the God of the universe. And it's, where is your faith, guys? Where is that? That was the thing. And that's the cry in the Gospels. With Jesus coming, with Jesus present, is that God is with us. But it's the God of the universe. And so when that's where our hope is, that's where we place our faith in that. And so, when is this going to crash into our galaxy? 30 million years from now, approximately. So, because, yeah, we got some time left yet. But it's just that's the God we serve. That's the God we sing to. And in a way, the feelings inside me are like sort of like fear, sort of like tremble, sort of like, what am I doing thinking I can say anything about you? I can't. And I also understood. Now I'm always amazed at how some of the writers in the Bible get the infinity of God or the greatness. Like, and great's not the proper word because that's a finite word, but get the grasp a bit of who God is. When David, I don't know if it was David, but whoever wrote Psalm 2 talks about how the kings, plot against God. We're going to this, roar, yeah. And it says God laughs and mocks. No wonder, yeah, no kidding, right? Here we are, little, we're not even ants. Anyway, what's that got to do with this series? Absolutely nothing. We've been in merge, and merge is about allowing God to come in with your life, merge with yours, and as you allow Him, be you, be who you are, God will use who you are to, you'll see amazing things happen in your life if you look, if you observe, if you merge with Him. And that's what we've been looking through the Gospel of Mark. Now we have stories from the Brazil team, and so where's Bruno? You're up. Come on up, Bruno. A mission, when a team goes out on a mission trip, part of that, there is a switch they put on that we're on mission. But it's this thing, what they get to experience is actually allowing their lives to merge with God, and there's an expectation that is there to see God move. But that doesn't have to be on a mission trip. That can be today, now, tomorrow, this week. Anyway, I've heard about you down there in Brazil. Share us something.
When I got here, this thing makes me nervous. I don't know why. But I'm not really used to micros, but I just want to thank the chance and that the family vineyard gave me to go, because I was nearly here recently, and they just said, okay, you can come along, right? Some places you may have to wait a year to participate in anything. And I'm just glad that I saw that as a sign from God too, because as soon as Scott announced we're asking for a team to go to Brazil, it was like a dart with flames that hit my heart, right? I know it sounds a bit dramatic, but but I don't know how to explain any other way, because it's like that fire consuming in your heart. And you say, is this God or not? Or is it or isn't? Is that talking about merging, right? And that's always something that I wanted to do, is to be merged, aligned with God's purpose, God's will to my life. Some people dream about have a big house, a big car. I dream about doing the will of God when he calls me to do it. And I was determined, and when I had the confirmation from God, I said, I'm going to go. And 3 months later, I lose my job. I was laid off. I said, well, that's not going to stop me or God. Because when God has a purpose, he finds the means. He gives you the tools. He gives you what you need to do. And I just trusted God. I prayed. And I remember calling my aunt. She's a Christian. And when I call her, she knows it's to pray. And we pray over the phone. And I didn't explain her much, but she said, if you believe that God is the owner of the gold and the silver and everything in this world, in the universe, if you think that he can do that for you, then you can do it. And everything came perfect aligned for me to go. Because my baby was just 4 months old. I said, why? Because I could find so many excuses, right? I'm a father of a 4-month-old baby. I don't know if my wife is going to like this idea. So many things. I don't have money. Now I'm laid off. I mean, so many excuses. I don't even speak right, because Portuguese from Brazil is so different from Portuguese from Portugal, right? And when I speak, they say, what? Are you speaking English too? So I kind of have to adjust my accent so they will understand me. That was funny. And it was amazing what God does. Because even in an airport, like Greg was saying, apparently people that are not Canadian, they need what is called a HASTA form to go through the States. It doesn't matter if you're visiting or if you're just getting through, you have to have that form. I didn't know that. And I said, oh, great. And she said, there is a computer, you can fill it out. Yes, I have a great relationship with computers. And so making it short, I have to go to fill this form. I finally filled the form. And when it was to print, there was no paper on the printer. Yeah. So how do I get back to take a picture or something? Because I talked to a lady and she says, oh, we don't print it. You just take a picture. Thank you very much. So back to the balcony, and the lady says, oh, that's okay. I'm going to try to book you in, because they can't book you in if I'm not in the system. So she finally could book me in and stuff, but I had to go with my luggage and everything to customers. It was 5 minutes away for my boarding time, and I told the lady, hey, I have to be boarding in 5 minutes. Well, you should have been here a long time ago, with no bags. At that moment, I just got quiet, because that's what I do. I got really quiet, and I was thinking to myself, I was thinking to God, God, I know this pulling me the strings here, and I feel like screaming to these people, but Lord, you brought me here this far, and I know if it's your will, I'm going to get through that customer services in time. And when I got there, we started, okay, hands, picture, all of that. And the moment I was done, somebody calls and says, shut off the system. No more people comes through the doors. The exact same moment. If I was there a second late, I wouldn't make it to that plane. So I said, God is good. God is amazing. So I made it to Brazil. I said, I don't mind if God doesn't operate through me, the miracles or the stuff, but I want to be there to see the stuff happening. And God gave me that chance. I was able to help there. And, of course, it was a life-changing experience to see God making miracles like I never have seen before. And this particular person that has a pain on the back, he sat on one of the chairs that when we went to do street ministry. And we prayed not even probably 30 seconds. And he got up and said, oh, the pain is gone. No pain in my back. And then he finds somebody that he knew, and he was complaining to him, oh, you should sit in that chair, you know. And the guy came and sat in the chair, and we pray over him. And another successful prayer, too. I mean, it's just blowing mind what God can do when you put yourself available to do. So thank you for the chance.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Wow, that's awesome. And there's an so from what Bruno has said about, because he said, yes, I'm going to go. And then he met obstacles along the way. And what was his prayer? God, you brought me this far. I believe you can take me through that. You know, you can get me through this. Get me through this impossibility. And there was this, but I believe, Bruno, for you, there was this thing where you said, yes, I'll go. Yes, I'll go. It's that saying yes. And speaking of that, that's how, when you look through the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there is this, when we come to the end, there is this, we've called it, we've named it the Great Commission. But it's really basically a mandate that Jesus gives his followers. Can I get the PowerPoint up there, Dave? Thank you. If you go to Mark 16, if you have your Bibles with you, you can go there. I'm going to be jumping around a bit this morning. Mark, because the end of Mark is a challenge for scholars, because there's different endings that they've come across that they believe are the endings, but they're not sure. It's about two or three different endings. And most translation, most versions, when you get the version, they'll include all the different possible endings. But I want to go right to Mark 16, verses 15 and 16. And it says here that this is what Jesus told them. Go into all the world and preach the good news to everyone. And anyone who believes and is baptized will be saved. But anyone who refuses to believe will be condemned. That is basically the mandate that Jesus gave his followers. The interesting thing about that mandate is we tend to, when we read that, when we hear it, we tend to think that's for the paid staff of churches or the professional leaders in the church to go do that and to make sure that's fulfilled. And that can trip, that what that does if you have that mindset is that I can't do it, but that person over there can, so we'll watch them do it. And see, the beauty of mission trips, mission teams, is that it's just a group of people that go, and what do? They do it, right? They do it. The mandate that Jesus gives his followers is for everybody, because remember, what was going on there? There was no church, right? There was no organized church. It was just a group of people. There was no denomination. Get a load of this. They didn't have a New Testament, by the way. Just so you understand, too, Paul's letters were written before the Gospels. Paul's letters weren't written for another 25 years after Jesus had died. Gospels weren't written for another 35 years. So they didn't have that. So for you, throw out your New Testament and pretend, go and make disciples, baptize them. And those who are baptized will be saved. Getting that mandate, now go. So all they had really was the Torah, because they're Jewish. They had the Torah. They had the Holy Spirit. That's important. They had the oral teachings of Jesus. That would help. That would go a long way. That's it. Go. Go. So you can imagine what go would have looked like. What can you imagine? Where would you go? Where would you start? Where would you start? You just got that mandate. Where would you go? What would you do? I think how they would have started is, well, the first thing I had to do was wait, right? Remember? Wait till the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit comes, then you go out. And I think, as you read the book of Acts, they would have come across someone who was sick, commanded a healing. How'd they know how to do that? That's what Jesus did. He would command a healing. And there was healing, right? People would be questioning them. What's this all about? What's that all about? Who are you preaching? Who are you teaching about? What? And they'd have opportunities to talk and invite others. Well, you can come along and follow us. Be with us as we all follow Jesus together and do this thing. What does he want you to do? He wants us to go all over the world, apparently. You know, fairly big mandate. And they would have experienced suffering in the process, because there were some people. Jesus was killed, right? He was executed. Any of his followers were going to be given a hard time as well. But they welcomed the suffering, because then they identified with Jesus what he went through. Anyway, all of this happened. What the church, these followers multiplying, this all happened in the midst of life. Because they all had to still continue their jobs. Peter was married, right? He was married. And in their life, in the midst of their life, things began to happen. As they said, what Bruno said, yeah, I'll go. And see, all those stories, that story at the airport, Bruno, that would have been, Luke would have written that in Acts. The gospel writers would have written that in their gospels, right? We didn't hear about a story about any of your teachings you gave down in Brazil. But we heard that story, because what does that story show? That this thing is real, that God is real. You're stuck at customs? No problem. God can get you through that. Easy. Right? Zip. Right? Seriously. Seriously. And that's the thing. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? That becomes the story. And those are the stories that happened as followers just went out and did what they were doing in their day-to-day life. They still had jobs to do. You know, Paul was a tent maker. Others had their different jobs or whatever. As they went about, the church began to grow. And now, followers would group up. And how would they group up? According to proximity, where they live, right? They wouldn't. How far could you walk? Like, maybe a mile you'd go if you had to walk everywhere? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe some of you would go further, some of us would go less. People would group up. Those little groups were called churches, right? They were called churches. They'd meet. Where would they meet? In homes, right? And these started to take place. And the church started to expand. But the church was never intended to be a structured organization. Structure comes to organize, to bring some sort of stability, but it's not supposed to be the predominant thing. The church is actually very organic, very dynamic, meaning it's a living, breathing organism that just continues to grow and grow and grow. And I compare it to this little fella here. Our strawberry plant. How many love strawberries? Mm-hmm. Eh? Absolutely. There's something about strawberries that even trump raspberries. Not sure why, but Interesting thing. So why do I pick a strawberry plant? Well, here's why. You know how strawberry plants produce, multiply? Ah, look at that. You guys are like amazing. So this is a science class. Get your notes out. No. But very applicable. Because forget the mother plant, daughter plant thing, but the main plant sends out a runner, and there's another plant. And from there it goes, and it continues, right? That's how it works. That is how the church began to multiply. The main groups of followers together, and then someone goes out. People would go out. You read that right at the beginning of Acts. Out it would go. And what would happen? People would share with others. They would group together. And then some would go from there, and they group together. And the church begins to multiply all over the globe. Look at China and the underground church that's out there. How's it happening? That's how it's happening. And the government hasn't clued in yet. And they just continue to grow and multiply and keep going. Now, like I said, the unfortunate thing is when we talk about being a follower of Christ, what we tend to do here is we use the Pauls and the Barnabases and the Silases and the Peters as examples of what it means to look like a Christian, what a Christian looks like, what a follower looks like. They are runners. Those guys are sent out. They were sent out. A good place to look is at the main plant. That's everybody else who's not sent out. Now, I don't know if that's making sense to you. But when you start to look at the runners, and if you're not a runner, what do you think? Well, I guess I sit on the sideline then. Because I'm not like Peter. I'm not like Paul. I'm not like Barnabas. I'm not like Silas. I'm not like those guys. No, you're the main. You're part of the main plant. And that's very, very significant. They are runners. And God uses you regardless of who you are. They were runners. God will use a CEO. God will use an accountant. God will use a stay-at-home parent. God will use a nurse. God will use a doctor. God will use us wherever we are. It's not so much what we do, it's how we live out our lives doing it. If we answer the call, yes, I'll go. Yes, you can use me, God. Yes. Doesn't matter what you do. It's the main plant. That is the thing to key in here. We put up on pedestals the runners. They're important. I agree. Paul was important. Barnabas was important. Those folks were important. But let me tell you something about the main plants. They start producing and they start growing. They change the atmosphere. They change the environment of where they are planted. The church, groups of followers, change the atmosphere. Did you realize that? Did you realize that you, take a look at yourself in the mirror, you change the atmosphere of your neighborhood where you live, you change the atmosphere of the place you work, you change the atmosphere whoever you associate with. Do you understand the church changes the entire ethos of a city? Do you know what I mean by an ethos? Do you know what I mean? Who it is, its character, its characteristics, its nature, how it functions. It changes. It has an impact. How? When in your day-to-day life, you go, actually, no, this is the what we should be doing. These are the things we should be doing. Let me give you an example for myself. I remember back in Ignace, I'd only been on maybe 3 or 4 years. There was an officer. We were partnered up for a short period of time. And every Sunday, if you worked Sunday day shift, you had to run the cruisers through radar just to test them, because then compare their speedometer with a radar, right? And so you'd do different speeds. And then you'd sign a little card and you'd sign. And his idea was, you know what, forget it. Let's just do what last week's card was and make it a little different. Sign it. So we did. I was like, that's not sitting well with me. So I said, you know what? can you humor me? And I'd like us to run the cars through. Really? Yeah. You know, we're signing that we are. We've done it. We need to do it. Okay. That influenced. That changes things. Don't think for a second that the way our country runs, the laws we have, the way our cities run and that, are not affected by the plants that are planted. Because people affect. You affect how people think, how things function. Don't think for a second that the church is not significant in Canada. It's significant. Very significant. The main plant is important. Very important. Paul recognized that. In his letters, Paul sometimes writes a postscript. Postscript is that P.S. at the end. Romans chapter 16, that's a postscript. And in Romans chapter 16, Paul honors the mother plant, honors the people there, people, names we've never heard of. He honors them throughout that whole chapter. Around 38 names are mentioned, actually. And I'm going to read to you part of Romans 16. And I want you to listen. Listen to the language. Listen to who he's talking to. Listen to what's going on here. And he starts off, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church in Cenchrea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has... My glasses just fell apart. Yay. Don't worry about it. I'm good. Good. Yes. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many and especially to me. Give my greetings to Priscilla and Aquila, my co-workers in the ministry of Christ Jesus. And what I want you to notice here is Paul is recognizing everyone as an equal to him. He doesn't lord it over. He recognizes as the very vital part in his ministry. And he says here, in fact, speaking of Priscilla and Aquila, in fact, they once risked their lives for me. I'm thankful to them, and so are all the Gentile churches. Also, now listen to this, give my greetings to the church that meets in their home. See, it's much like what we call small groups or kinships or life groups or whatever, but people that meet in their home, right? He goes on, greet my dear friend Epaphroditus. He was the first person from the province of Asia to become a follower of Christ. First person from that province to become a follower. Give my greetings to Mary, who has worked so hard for your benefit. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my fellow Jews who were in prison with me. They are highly respected among the apostles and became followers of Christ before I did. Greet Ampliatus, my dear friend in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our co-worker in Christ, and my dear friend Stachys. Greet Apelles, a good man whom Christ approves, and give my greetings to the believers from the household, that's another house church, household of Aristobulus. Greet Herodian, my fellow Jew. Greet the Lord's people from the household of Narcissus. Give my greetings to Tryphena and Tryphosa, the Lord's workers, and to dear Persis, who has worked so hard for the Lord. Greet Rufus, whom the Lord picked out to be his very own, and also his dear mother, who has been a mother to me. Give my greetings to Syncretus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers and sisters who meet with them. Give my greetings to Philologus, Julia, Nerus, and his sister, and to Olympus, and all the believers who meet with them, another house church. Greet each other with a sacred kiss. All the churches of Christ send you their greetings. And then Paul talks about some specific people from where he's writing from that want to say, who we thank you as well. Timothy, my fellow worker, sends you his greetings, as do Lucius, Jason, and Sosipater. Why? I don't know why they can't have names like Scott and my fellow Jews. Now, get a load of this. How's this? I, Tertius, the one writing this letter for Paul, Tertius wrote that letter. Well, he probably Paul dictated it, and Tertius wrote it. Interesting, eh? I, Tertius, the one writing this letter for Paul, send my greetings too as one of the Lord's followers. Gaius says hello to you. He is my host and also serves as host to the whole church. So he's like a host for house church, right? And Erastus, the city treasurer. City treasurer. See, doing his job, city treasurer, accountant, CA, I don't know, whatever, sends you his greetings, as does our brother Quartus. Amazing, eh? Amazing. But here's the thing I realize, that small gatherings of people empowered by the Spirit changed the ethos of their neighborhoods, and together they changed, historically, the empire of Rome. Let that sink in you for a bit. Now, it may have taken like 300 years for that to take place, but over time, because of those churches that were located in different neighborhoods, different cities, different regions and provinces throughout the empire, changed the empire. Changed the empire. The significant workers in the church globally are not people who are the staff. They're actually just the workers to equip the church, to fuel the church to do what it does. Because it's you all through scattered here in other churches throughout this city, through and all the churches throughout Waterloo region that impact the government as they make decisions to lead. To think that we don't have an impact? Really? We have a huge impact. We affect decisions that politicians make. Hugely. Hugely. And as you merge your life with God, as you say what Bruno said, I'll go. Going doesn't mean that you pack your bags and you go to another country, by the way. Going just means, I'll go. I'll be a voice for you wherever I am. Whatever I'm doing, doesn't matter. You could be retired. You could be in between jobs right now. That doesn't matter. God use you? Absolutely. Does God use everybody? Absolutely. The church, empowered by the Spirit, changes things. Powerful. Sometimes I wonder if we got it flipped. Because you know those runners that we had in that picture, those little shoots that go out to do the other plant? We ordain those folks, right? And those are the special ones. No, because you know what? Paul and Barnabas, they didn't have the opportunity to change an ethos of a community. Because they were moving all over the place. But they were doing what they're called to do, which is to go and plant. But then the rest affect Hugely. Hugely. So that command from Jesus to his followers is a command to you. I want you to go into all the world, preach the gospel. If you have to use words, do it. But more, preach with your life, with your actions. And make disciples. Teach them what I've taught you. Right? That's the command Jesus has given to you and you and you and you and you and you and you today. That's his mandate. Go and do that. Go and do that. So like Bruno said, yes, I want you to, God's asking you, will you go? No, you don't have to pack your bags. No, you don't have to worry that he's going to ship you off to some other place. Like, you know, Nuktiakduk up in Northwest Territories. I know you would wish for Hawaii, but somebody has to go where it's cold. No. No, just right here in your neighborhood. Just right here, wherever you live. Right here, whatever job you're doing. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Because you know why? The organized church can't get into your job. I always chuckled at the fact that when you hear, got to keep the church out of, fill in the blank, right? Out of the judicial system, out of the schools, out of cheap, right? Can't. Why? Because if you're a teacher and you go into you go to work tomorrow, where's the church? It's in the school. Can't keep it out, right? Church goes everywhere followers go. It's very subversive. Very brilliant, actually. Very brilliant. And we don't have to try and drag the world into the buildings. But the Holy Spirit's here. This is the temple. Brilliant. Brilliant. So we're going to bless you guys. We're going to commission you. I don't know. What does that mean? I don't know. It's not scary. Not scary. It's real simple. Can you, hey, whisperer over there, Rhonda. I'm just teasing you. Would you mind sharing your story real quick? Would you mind? Just you can make it as brief as possible. But I want to show, what I want you to do is just say, this isn't about doing something like what we think, what we imagine is, you know, some great thing. Any act done with great love, it's huge. God will use that.
I learned something this week. If you meet Scott in the grocery store, do not share too much. I didn't think about what to say. Yeah, well, kind of. On Facebook, I have a friend who's a mutual friend of somebody I really know, but I don't know this lady, hadn't known her, and we friended each other, and we've been talking for a couple years now. Her mom just passed away of cancer, and because that's, my mom had passed away of cancer, my heart really went out to her. So I started sharing over the last year how I would pray for her. We were private messaging back and forth, and she really opened up, but I had never met her. And the funeral was on Friday, and I thought I was supposed to go. So I went, and that was the stretch of the out of the comfort zone, because I thought, even if I sit in the back, and even if I don't get to talk with her and physically introduce myself, I will pray for her. I'll pray her through this. And when I walked in and she saw me, she embraced me, and she just sobbed in my arms, and I thought, thank you, God, that I listened to the Holy Spirit, and I actually came. And I was so glad that I went. And, just that was out of my comfort zone to go to a funeral where I really didn't know anybody. And but I, you know, I did know her. Like, I think Facebook can be an interesting tool, actually. And, that's it.
That simple. It's literally that simple. It really is. Just be yourself and say, yeah, Holy Spirit, you can use me. I think that's what you did, didn't you, Rhonda? You just said you veiled yourself to the Holy Spirit and say, There you go. Right? There you go. That's it. Yeah, I bet you there's lots of stories out here. When you hear that one, you probably go, oh, you know what? Come to think of it. And just making ourselves available, that's all. So if I can get you to stand, I feel like, Chris, you should be helping me pray for people too. Put you on the spot. Didn't mean to do that, but. Like for me, Chris and I do sometimes, and most church staff feel this way. Like we live in the bubble, right? And I had much more opportunity policing to rub shoulders with people and to make a difference than I do right now, really. But the call is different. It's a different role. And, you know, we don't have to go into all of that. But what you guys do is huge. It's huge, okay? Some of you work for the government. That has great impact, regardless of what that is. Some of you have your own business. And how you conduct that business makes a difference in many people's lives, okay? Because people watch. They pay attention, right? They pay attention when they get ripped off. They pay attention, too, when they're treated with honor as customers, right? They really do. That makes a difference in people. It restores something in them, right? People who, for those of you who are like customer service, that's huge for people because we go through life. We can go through a busy day and nobody really notices us, right? Except if you cut them off, then they notice you, right? But when you greet people with a smile, when you notice, when you look them eyeball to eyeball and say their name, that's huge for them. It's huge. And then as you get to know people and you have opportunity to give them a reason for hope, the Spirit moves. And they're drawn in because God loves them. So that's only you can do that. It's only you can do that. And yes, you can invite people to come to gatherings, yes. But what you do day to day is just huge. It's just huge. So we want to bless you and pray for you. I don't know if you want to say.
Yeah, I'm just as Scott was. Just sharing that stuff. I totally resonate with what he's saying. You know, I mean, when I was managing a bookstore, I just felt immersed in the world, and I was up here, so feeling fairly inadequate to bless or to commission. And then I just kind of felt a sense of grief, actually. And so I think that this is both two parts. I think it's a commission, but I think it's also on behalf of church leadership and myself, who have honored more highly service in our systems than we have honored your commitment to the world that you inhabit and live in, and where we've given lip service to that, but at the end of the day have, by our actions, demonstrated that we value your service in our program somehow more highly than your service to the life that the Holy Spirit has placed you into. I want to ask for forgiveness for that. For supporting systems that sometimes minimize maybe where your life is really being spent. And so I ask you. And I think on behalf of maybe other pastors standing in the role, other leaders who have maybe not made you feel as though you were a vital part of a community that was reaching out into the world. So forgive us and know that God, even where we have maybe disappointed people and not championing, God has championed and champions you and celebrates the role that he's put you into and beyond the role, the person that you are. And I just so in the name of Jesus, I speak a release from any of the chains of the institutional church that you've felt hindered by in your vocation and in your mission. And I speak life. I speak life into your life. I speak the mission of kingdom into the place that He has called you to. In Jesus' name, I speak and just echo the commission of God. The commission of God into your life.
Yeah, I bless you guys in your work that you do. That your work you do is not insignificant. Whether it is, and that includes volunteer work, that includes what if it's part-time work you're doing, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That done unto the Lord, He uses, He blesses, and He'll bless you. I pray for those who have your own business, who are running your own business, and I know the challenge that is there for you, the hours you got to put in. But I bless you in the name of Jesus, not only for that, of course, you want your business to be prosperous, but I bless you that you set a standard that comes under the banner of Christ for other businesses that you interact with. A standard of how to operate, a standard of how to treat people. That as you go, that your business will be formed from the principles, from the heartbeat of who Jesus is. I bless all of you to exceed yourselves as empire changers. Now, I know that's fairly grandiose language, but let me tell you something. When those 120 left from that place after the Holy Spirit had fallen, I'm sure they had no thought in their mind that, yeah, we're going to take on the Roman Empire. But they just went out, and they went out, and they just shared who they were, what they were about. They looked for opportunities. If there was an opportunity to command healing, they did it. If there was an opportunity to cast evil spirits out, they did it. When they had opportunity to speak, those who could speak spoke. When they had an opportunity to serve, to love on others, they did. When they had an opportunity to honor those who were in leadership, they honored them. And eventually, that empire did a 180 turn. That has influenced, that has changed the world. You understand that has changed the course of the world. So I bless you guys as you go out. I bless you. And we, those of us who are charged to equip you, because that's what we are called to do, is to equip. We will do what we can to put every tool within to equip you with every tool possible so that you can do your job more effectively. And we bless you to be yourselves. We bless you for the gifts you have. Your gifts are rich and they're needed. And your mission field is way beyond what takes place here on a Sunday morning. Way. That's just what happens here is equipping. What goes on out there is the real thing that's going on. So I pray that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you'll be empowered people, that you'll be people that feed on the words of Jesus, that as you yourselves are changed, you'll see your families changed, and from there you will see neighborhoods changed, and from there you'll see workplaces changed, and you'll see your city changed, and your province, and your nation of Canada. And I bless you guys. I bless you. I bless you in the name of Jesus. So go. Go. Go and thank you for all you do. Seriously, thank you. Thank you.